Well, as many of you know, at the beginning of the summer, last summer, I had knee surgery. And since that time, I've been doing my best to rehabilitate the knee and get it back to full strength and full mobility. And this means visiting the gym and doing exercise. And I spend some of that time on the treadmill and the elliptical machine. Now, these are not my favorite activities. And so to distract myself, I usually tune into the little TV screen that they have provided, and usually I watch sports highlights. And we're in the middle of winter, and so there's a lot of hockey highlights. And I am always astounded, surprised even, by the skill of some of these hockey players. Their ability to control the puck and to make shots and to get them into the net. I mean, I never really played hockey, but anytime I played road hockey, I mean, I missed by a mile. And so it's incredible how this happens in my mind and how they end up scoring, especially when you see some of these tricky shots. Of course, what is even more surprising and perhaps even more pleasing is watching the goaltender make a well-timed save. And when this happens, I'm often surprised because I thought for sure it was going to be in the back of the net. And very often, the player making the shot is surprised, and sometimes even the goaltender is surprised. But strong offensive and defensive plays, they make hockey or any other sport exciting to watch. And I always find it a little bit more enjoyable, more surprising when the outcome is in doubt, when we don't know exactly who's going to win. I find that our passage from the Old Testament, from the book of Jonah, is full of surprising outcomes. It's the story of a rebellious child of God. The tale of a man swallowed by a whale. It includes a prayer of thanksgiving. It is a story of repentance. And Jonah is a book which has endured in the imagination of God's people for centuries. It carries with it certain elements of myth that persevere and tell us something about ourselves. And the end of the story, where God spares the Ninevites, would have been a surprise to those who first heard the story. The people of Nineveh and the people of Israel were not friends. That God would spare them from destruction would have been surprising. They may have been scratching their heads, wondering what to make of the story. But I find it surprising for other reasons. To me, it is always refreshing to be reminded just how wide God's love for us is. It is a surprise which never gets old and to me is always fresh and new. The real surprise in the book of Jonah is that Jonah actually does go to Nineveh and does preach. Jonah has spent the first two chapters of the book, which I summarized for the kids, but he has spent those first two chapters doing everything in his power to avoid going to Nineveh, to avoid going and preaching. He has rebelled against God's commands. He's chartered a ship to take him in the opposite direction, and when a storm rages, the sailors toss him overboard, rightly recognizing that God is not pleased. And Jonah is swallowed by a whale, and it is only there, during those dire circumstances, that he comes before God in prayer and is ultimately rescued. And I have to imagine that in his heart of hearts, Jonah does not want to do the task that he has been called to do. I also believe that it was likely his hope that the Ninevites would not repent and that God would destroy them. One thing is clear at the beginning of our passage today, where we pick up in chapter 3. Everyone in this story, Jonah and the Ninevites, are all as good as dead. Jonah is certainly spiritually dead, having rebelled against God and choosing to follow his own desires. Jonah is unwilling to see God's goodness and loving purpose. And Jonah, let's be honest, only goes and preaches once he's been vomited out from that whale. And then God once again says to him, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim to it the message that I tell you." This is the same command that God gives to Nineveh, or to Jonah, in the first chapter, in the second verse of this book. The message has not changed. Go and preach. Which makes me wonder what Nineveh was like. All we're told is that it was that great city, that it took 3 days to walk through it. But why did God take an interest in this city, in the people there? And why was Jonah so set against going there? Was Nineveh the proverbial town on the other side of the tracks? Was it the last place on earth you'd willingly want to go to? And I suppose the question we can ask ourselves is, what is our Nineveh? What is the place that we do not want to travel to? The place that we are trying hard to avoid? And part of the message of Jonah is that we can try to avoid a thing, but eventually it is probably going to come around anyway. And when it does, how are we going to react to it? Are we going to proclaim a message of good news? Or are we going to clamp up, slink out of the room, and hope that we aren't noticed? How will we respond? Earlier this week in the United States, it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday. An important day for a variety of reasons. For understanding how Christians can act in response to issues of social justice, to recognize the cost that comes with such action, and also to think how we can respond in our own time and circumstances to issues that are important. But Martin Luther King, he didn't go looking for a cause. However, a cause certainly came looking for him. He was thrust, led by God, to be the figurehead of the civil rights movement in the 60s. And if you read about Martin Luther King, you realize that he had moments of doubt, moments where he wondered if he was up to the task. And while I won't say he tried to flee like Jonah did, I do wonder if he asked that age-old question, why me? Why does it have to be me to lead this charge? And yet he did. He preached a message of equality for all people, as he understood it to be, as he believed God wanted it for all people. Jonah didn't want to go to preach to the Ninevites, but God wanted to remind the people of Israel that God's love was available for all people. There were and are no favorites. What we witness in God is God acting as a radically free agent, unrestrained from human expectations. God moves outside of Jonah's theological understanding. In other words, God's actions inform Jonah about how God works in the world. God breaks free of that little box that Jonah had constructed. And Jonah learns that God is interested in more than just Israel. God is concerned with all of creation, with all people. And so what else might God be concerned about that is outside of our vision, of our understanding of God? Might God have concerns about things to which we have hardened our hearts? The story of Jonah tells us to check our expectations and to be open to broader understandings. We don't know where or how God is going to choose to act, or where God is going to lead us. What the story of Jonah tells us is that no matter how hard and how often we resist, God will lead us to where we are supposed to be. The good news is that God has provided us with a message that we can preach. News which I encourage you to share with words and with actions at all times, to all people in all places. Thanks be to God. Amen.